God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB and Hollywood and Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When God in the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke, said, "Let there be light." Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. To people in the path of the hurricanes, I've never been in one. I am praying for you. I know God knows what you need far ahead of what I know. I've never been in a hurricane. As isolated as I am up here in this corner of the world from that, I really try to relate to what it would feel like to have that coming at you. I think you guys have been through this before. Most of you have. The Lord sees. He can use all things for good. And I don't even know that that makes it better. And may it just be mild. I'll be thinking of you. Sometimes God is the storm, isn't he? In your life, sometimes you get to face times where God is the storm. And I want to talk later in the show about a gift I had when I was, believe it or not, selling Time Life books. Really? Yeah, I did. I sold Time Life books back then. It was actually a great job. I earned a lot of money. I actually liked the books. I actually liked the workplace. It's a heck of a thing calling strangers and asking them to buy books, but it was fun. And I enjoyed the workplace. I put a call in at one time to a woman who was going through her first hurricane. She picked up the phone. One of the most miraculous things that's ever happened to me. I'll share that with you. Are you watching what's going on in Britain and Ireland? Well, in other parts of the world where people have made the decision to allow mass migration, which is by definition really illegal immigration. It's really just opening the borders. Part of this was driven out of panic because the powers, the earthly powers, those wise, wise people counting on their own wisdom, ignoring God's desire that we be fruitful and multiply, had done such a good job of driving down the native populations, of now having negative growth, families not even replacing each other, young people being told to marry but not have kids. Abortion on demand to drive down the population. They continue to want to drive down the population, panicking. Oh my gosh, we don't have any replacements for workers, for economy, an economy that partly runs on people. Open the borders. Where better to do that than in places where people desperately want out because their beliefs and their culture have destroyed their country? Because their beliefs and their culture are, to be frank, satanic. I believe Muhammad was satanic. I know that that puts me on the map for people to come and get me. And I am, in fact, indestructible until God says otherwise. Until the God of the Bible says so. I don't want to be hurtful. I don't think that all Muslims are satanic at all. I think most people get into a faith like that ethnically. That's just what they're taught. But what we're watching in Britain, if you're watching it, and in Ireland, if you're watching it, because it's not being shown on TV, you're watching native-born citizens of Britain who have never done anything like riot stand up and say, okay, this latest stabbing where a migrant decided to stab a little girl, this latest one, people had enough. And they protested, which became riots. And Thursday, I'm going to spend a lot of time on this. Because hidden in all this is the 1,400 girls in Rotterdam, 1,400 girls in Rotterdam, England, who were sex trafficked, native girls, Britons, groomed, sex trafficked, some murdered, for daring to tell their families what a group of, quote, migrant men had done. Again, incumbent upon this is we cannot hate. We must love our enemies. We must pray for them. Jesus asked, who is your neighbor? Really, who is? But there is a lot of history to this that most people in this country don't know because the Mockingbird media will not tell them about it. That a country that watched 1,400 girls sex trafficked, groomed, sex trafficked, raped mechanically for profit and fun and for conquest. For conquest, please don't ignore that part. That's part of Muhammad's plan for conquest. Seize and impregnate the native population. Part of the plan. They watched this happen. They watched social workers ignore it. Cops ignore it because everyone was afraid of being called racist. And now, finally, just ordinary Britons, citizens of Britain have had enough. And the prime minister, he's angry at them. He applauded the Black Lives Matter Incorporated riots, applauded, coddled. He's told these people, I guarantee you, you will regret being part of this uprising. Uprising against what? Against a policy that has brought people into the country who do not mean the United Kingdom or Britain well. They don't. They mean to seize it. And they're doing it. Why would I mention this when there is a United States election coming? Because there's a United States election coming. Kamala Harris is a panderer. She will pander to anybody in any way if it will bring her power. She is part of an open borders world. She's part of the racial discrimination, the setting apart that would make Karl Marx so happy. We'll talk about that Thursday. Karl Marx was a man fascinated and I think had great affection for Satan. We'll talk about that Thursday. White women for Kami have a single on which issue on which they want white women to vote. It's white guilt.
As white women, we need to use our privilege to make positive changes. If you find yourself talking over or speaking for BIPOC individuals, or God forbid, correcting them, just take a beat. And instead, we can put our listening ears on. So do learn from and amplify the voices of those who have been historically marginalized and use the privilege you have in order to push for systemic change. As white people, we have a lot to learn and unlearn. So do check your blind spots. You are responsible for your algorithm, believe it or not.
So if a black person or a sainted BIPOC is wrong about something, do not correct them. So if you are talking to someone who's BIPOC, such a pandering, diminishing phrase for a being created by God in his image, a BIPOC. For instance, if you're with your BIPOC friends and you are rafting and you say, hey, I'm going to get out here because there is a 400-foot cliff in about 3 miles and the water gets pretty rapid from here, and your BIPOC friend says, no, it doesn't. Okay, I support you. I affirm. Or if your society is about to be torn apart by design, by creating balkanization, a nation within a nation, don't correct people if they're black and say it's a good idea. Don't do that. That's racism. See, you can look at where other societies have gone and simply decide, do we want to go there? This is a different form of ideology, but it's just as divisive. I think it also comes from the pit of hell. These two Swiss parents have been legally forced to give up their 16-year-old daughter to gender ideologues.
They've put aside 16 years of absolute commitment to our child and have taken away our child based on the lie that a person can be born in the wrong body.
We want our daughter back home.
The story is truly a nightmare.
They are changing the parents' voices because the authorities will crush them for protesting. You'll regret being part of this uprising. Just about what the Prime Minister of Britain said about citizens of Britain saying, no, we're done having little girls stabbed by so-called migrants. Well, they are migrants, but they're really illegal immigrants. So that's why the voices change here. Listen as the father describes how the local hospital pressured them into giving their daughter puberty blockers.
Swiss authorities have taken our child, our daughter, who's 16 years old. We, as parents, are facing an alliance between a school, the Swiss Child Protection Agency, the Swiss Hospital in Geneva, and we feel powerless. About 3 years ago, coming out of the pandemic, our daughter informed us that she was a boy. We understood that she was going through a difficult period in her life. We agreed to seek medical advice. When we first went to the Geneva Hospital, the nurse showed her a gender unicorn, and it was based on this gender unicorn that we were instructed by the hospital to begin treating her as a boy. We were told she needed puberty blockers.
When they did this, they were giving in to an ideology that I think, again, comes from the pit of hell, and we have an election coming. Kamala Harris wants this done to parents, to families, because it panders. Planned Parenthood makes a ton of money now off of handing out testosterone to confused girls, just as they make a ton of money killing babies and selling their body parts, and Kamala has been their enforcer. There's an election coming. She is open borders, which will create balkanization, and you will see scenes in America like they've seen in Britain. When you create a nation within a nation, you are inviting warfare, which Satan loves. He cannot build or create. He can only tear down and destroy. And the comparison to this family, well, it's a family being divided as a nation's been divided on racial lines, or in this case, on the lines of the gender lie. With this family who had their kid taken away from them, the Swiss family, there was more pressure added by their daughter's school, which began socially so-called transitioning her.
The school got involved. Everyone at the school, the teachers, the administrators, started to call our daughter a male name. We were very clear with the school that we did not believe that it was up to the school to socially transition our daughter.
We learned that this school psychologist was getting in and was feeding my daughter with materials, putting her in contact with Le Refuge.
Le Refuge is a transgender advocacy organization and has taken our daughter down the path of believing that she's a boy in a girl's body.
Soon, the parents were facing court battles.
Eventually, the Swiss Child Protection Agency, with the school's support, brought a case against us in the Swiss court system. And that has meant for us many sleepless nights, a lot of deep pain, and a sense of hopelessness.
The parents now describe the irreversible damage that's been done to their daughter and their family.
No human being is born in their own body. Taking an adolescent, telling him or her that he or she is born in their own body is cruel.
We want our daughter back home just that we love her and we miss her. My son, he feels his sister is missing. He has written several letters, but we haven't heard back from her.
So it's really out of this pain and this desperation that we have decided there's really no other option but to speak up.
As you can imagine, the relationship with her daughter is effectively non-existent. And praise God for people like Pastor Tim. He's going to join us, the Truth for Youth Bible Campaign. Yeah, God's word never returns void, even in Switzerland. I'm Todd Herman. This is The Disciples View. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. The privilege a few weeks ago of giving a young man his first Bible and sitting with him as we read Genesis together. 14 years old. It was a very cool thing to have him paying such rapt attention as I read the Bible to him. I got to meet his dad this past weekend. What a blessing. I got to know that he's now reading his Bible to his family. Again, what a blessing. And he said something to me that is profoundly beautiful and profoundly sad all at once. As we were reading together, he said, Todd, dads should read to their kids. And in his mind, he had noticed and invented a parenting tip. Can't wait to work with this family. What a privilege. Pastor Tim Todd joins me on the Disciples View. Pastor, what a pleasure to have you here. Hi.
Glad to be here, Todd. Thank you so much. And what a powerful testimony.
Indeed. I mean, what a privilege. You ever have that feeling when you work with young people, that feeling of watching God come in and intervene and take the work over? Have you ever seen that?
Yes, it's amazing. We had one young lady that gave a Bible to a gang leader in South Texas, and he wanted to know, how can he get Bibles for his whole gang? So, crazy. He came to the service that night, and it was a revival service, and he gave his life to the Lord, and then he asked if he could talk to the whole congregation. Well, since he was a gang leader, I thought, well, I'll hold the microphone. So he said, I want everybody to pray for me. This is my very first Bible and the very first time I've ever been to church. And he said, I want you to pray because tomorrow night I'm going to invite my entire gang to come to the service, and I want you to pray that they'll come. I've never seen so many jaws drop in all of my life, Todd. And the next night, sure enough, here comes that entire gang, 11 gang members with his with their gang leader, Alex, that had given his heart to the Lord the day before. The entire gang, when we gave the altar call for salvation invitation at the close, they gave their life to the Lord, came forward, got in a semicircle, got down on their knees, and with tears streaming down their cheeks, accepted the Lord. This is the kind of activity that you can see will happen as a result of God's word going forth and not returning void, but accomplishing what God wants to do.
Yes, and it's part of the Truth for Youth Bible campaign, and we'll talk about how you can continue to support that as part of the AFR family. Pastor, I worked in a secular sense. I don't any longer carry the misconception that there's anything secular in the world. Everything belongs to God. But you were speaking of the gang members, and young men are going to seek structure. And I noticed this when I worked around gangs and in gang intervention. One of the lessons I took away from young men who taught me about gangs was this is father and brother. And it's negative, obviously, out stealing and robbing and sometimes beating people and selling drugs and raping. It's negative. It's, I guess, makes Satan smile. But they have structure. They've got a command structure. They've got limits, things you say and things you don't say, neighborhoods into which you don't go. And so young people are going to seek this. Is that your experience as well, that they'll seek structure in any sense? And when they get the ultimate structure, the Word of God, that is just life-changing.
Absolutely. And the truth is, on the same token, Todd, you notice that young people, they're reaching out for the supernatural through sorcery and witchcraft and things like this, when in fact we have a supernatural God. And so that is what this project, this campaign is all about, getting the Word of God, getting Jesus into the hands, Bibles into the hands of young people all across America. They're seeking for truth. They're seeking for the supernatural. They're seeking for family. And so they're just looking in the wrong places. And that's why it's so important for the church to rise up in these last days, take tools that God has made available to us, and reach out to the young people with the only hope that they have, which is Jesus Christ.
And how can people help right now with your campaign?
Well, we actually are giving one free Truth for Youth Bible to every teenager that will commit to give it to their friends in school that are not saved. And of course, one Bible per teenager, per household. So if there's three teenagers in the home, we'll give a free Truth For Youth Bible to each one of those young people. All they have to do is either call right now. We've got our phone lines open, 844-530-8890, 844-530-8890, or go to tfy.org, tfy.org. And not only can they get a free Bible for their children or grandchildren or the teenager themselves, but they can order multiple copies at a discounted cost. I order these, Todd, 50,000 Bibles at a time.
Whoa.
By getting that many Bibles at a time, I'm able to get this Bible for only $2 per copy. So if they get a case for 50 Bibles for $100 or more, then I'll let them have them at my cost, which is only $2 each plus the shipping cost. And they may want to help with a Bible club or a youth group or take it on for themselves. But if we get the Word of God into the hands of these precious young people, I believe we can change a generation in America. We can change our nation if we can reach a generation of young people.
Praise God and amen. Pastor Tim Todd's with us. And Pastor, I went through my walk to come to an abiding state with the Lord Jesus and walking with Him, imperfect, still being sanctified. It was a come and go. I believed in God, and then I was a Bible reader, and then I funded church, but I was a consumer of church. I took some time away from church because I want you to know, Pastor, my daughter was a really promising speed skater, and that was very important. So I made the tremendous mistake of making that an idol, which cost our family dearly. And when I finally surrendered to the Lord and finally took both knees, it was weeping in how my affection for the things of the world, like speed skating, had negatively impacted my daughter. I surrendered. My parenting was insufficient. I wept, and the Lord washed me of that, and He stepped in and began to heal my daughter. So as I speak, I'm a man who knows the brokenness of a lot of material wealth, a lot of material success, even watching my daughter on these national podiums and seeing that, compared to the satisfaction of, sometimes the painful satisfaction of becoming sanctified and becoming more like Jesus, not like Jesus, but more like Him. I have to ask you, have you ever had a time in your life where you did not know the Lord?
Yes. When I was a teenager, Todd, my parents divorced. My dad had a national Christian broadcast, third longest running religious program on national television. He just went to heaven March the 4th of this year. He marched forth into heaven at 5:55 in the morning. He was in the ministry for 75 years. He was my spiritual hero. But when I was a teenager, he called me into his office, told me that him and my mom were getting a divorce. And so as a result of that, I turned away from God. I was raised in church as a little boy. But as a teenager, I began to harbor a lot of anger and fear and unforgiveness in my heart towards my dad and my mom and towards God, and just got as far away from God as I could possibly get, Todd. And so there were several years there that I was just not living for the Lord at all. Thankfully, the Holy Spirit did not give up on me. And whenever I did get my heart in right relationship with the Lord, I've never turned back since, and was able to restore my relationship with my parents. And my dad had a very effective ministry. And so now I've been on the evangelistic field for about 38 years, but there was a time there, Todd, that I was as far away from God as a person could get. And what emptiness that felt. What emptiness that I felt as a result of not being in right relationship with the Lord.
Your earthly father, who praise God is in heaven now, what was it like when you came back to him, Pastor?
You know, I had to go. I went to my dad. Whenever I got right with the Lord, Todd, yeah, the Lord just overwhelmed me with the presence of the Holy Spirit. And the very first thing that I did after I got right with the Lord is I went to my dad and I went to my mom, and my earthly father, I just hugged him and said, "Dad, I'm so sorry for the unforgiveness that I had in my heart towards you." And it brought such a healing and lifted such a load off of me. And we have a place, a void that only our Heavenly Father can fill. We have a void that only our parents can fill. And so, you know, children that don't have a mom or a dad, that's why it's so important to have a relationship with a Heavenly Father that looks beyond our mistakes and our sin. And when the Lord washes our sins away and we get in right relationship with the Lord, and having that relationship with our Heavenly Father is what makes all the difference.
Yes. And you can help make sure that students between the ages of 13 and 18 who promise to pass on a Bible to a friend get a free Bible today. And if you've not seen someone like I have a couple different times, I've sat with young men who've received their first Bible, and I've sat with them as they've read it for the first time. If you've not seen the eye-opening experience of that, or like this, when I was at summer camp this past year, and we talked about the Holy Spirit indwelling in us, to see a group of kids, middle school boys, who are very invested in being, you know, appearing hard and tough, and in fact, some of them were and are hard and tough, to see their eyes respond to, wait, I can have the Holy Spirit within me. And to have them ask questions like one boy asked me, he said, "Todd, if I do that, will I be better at sports?" I said, "Brother, I don't know. I said, "I do know this, that God doesn't care about your sports. He cares about you. But if God has decreed that you will use athletics for His glory, then yes, He could do that. But He will find the thing that matters. He will direct you towards what you're to do." And he said, "Will I have more power?" I said, "You'll have the power of heaven. Towards what God will steer you, I don't know. He may make you a social worker. He may make you an incredible athlete. I don't know. I do know that you will have eternal life with Him." To see his desire for baptism change from, "Man, I'm a better football player," to, "Wait, I'm going to be in heaven." He actually said to me, "I don't want to go to hell. I want to be with Jesus." And to see this change in this young man, and it starts with that Bible. So here's what you can do, is just go online at tfy.org. You can donate now to make sure that the Word of God lands in someone's hands today, 13 to 18 years old. We know it never returns void. They just have to promise to hand it on to a friend, and that's powerful. Friend-to-friend transfer of God's Word for this age group is so potent. You can also call 844-530-8890. It's Truth for Youth. And on that topic of friend-to-friend, Pastor, you've seen this. When this boy at our youth camp, who is the leader of the boys by virtue of his height, his size, the way he presents himself, his athletic talent, all those things has made him the leader, and he's aware of this. But when he started to make that turn, other boys then began to follow, but then also to lead. It was the smaller of the two boys who actually said at our youth camp, he said, "I tell you what, I will kneel and give my life to Jesus right now if my brothers will do it with me. And Pastor," he said, "and if they will hold me to account like Todd's friends do for him." And 8 out of 10 of those boys took a knee.
Praise God.
And together, we showed them how to give their life to Jesus. And together, they did that. So how powerful is it that you have designed this program, obviously, intentionally, 50,000 Bibles at a time you purchased. How much of a difference is it that it's young people giving it to young people?
Yes, that is so important, because, Todd, the way that the law is interpreted right now, it is not legal for an adult to go on campus and give Bibles to young people, but it is legal for young people to give Bibles to their friends. And so that's how, like what you just described, and the testimony that I began with, this and so many testimonies, but this gang leader, you know, he was the leader of the gang. Whenever he got his Bible and he gave his heart to the Lord, then his entire gang then were interested in what he had to say. He wasn't just somebody in the school. He wasn't just in the gang. He was the leader of the gang. And I believe the Lord just positioned him to be able to be the leader that would help to bring that entire gang to the Lord, of a total of 12 young people. And so this is so important for as the young people boldly go on to their school campus, give a Bible away, say, "Lord, whoever you want me to give this Bible to, show me what to do. And the Lord leads them to the right person. Everything is put into place by as the Holy Spirit prepares the hearts of the young people that are receiving these Bibles and prepares the hearts of the young people that are giving these Bibles away.
You know what I love in that, Pastor, is I love, Pastor Tim Todd's with us, Truth for Youth. You know what I love about that is I think of all the times where Satan thought he was using the things of this world to frustrate the plans of God. I think of the Pharisees. Hey, I know, let's kill Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay. You do that. And Satan, for that moment, I've won. Oh, wait. And now there's the rules of this world. Oh, you can't have adults handing out Bibles to kids. And God's plan is no. Let the little children tell the little children.
Amen.
Let the children tell the children. Please get involved in this. I'm asking you to give. Go to TFY.org. That's TFY.org or call 844-530-8890. The Word of God never returns void. Make sure that this doesn't go by without your opportunity to give. Pastor, thank you for coming on. Pastor Tim Todd, God bless you. God bless you and your family, and God continue to bless your ministry. We'll continue on the Disciples View. Appreciate you listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We'll get into Tower Babbling here in a second. I also need to tell you a story since it's apparently hurricane season again, and people are battening down, getting ready to hunker down and go through that. I got to tell you, it was kind of a life-changing story for me, connecting with someone who was going through a hurricane in the most bizarre manner, something you never think would happen, and there has to be. To this, the miraculous. There has to be, given how long the conversation went. I'll share that with you. It's one of my favorite things that's ever happened in my life. You know that phrase, some trust in chariots and horses? As for me and my home, we trust in the Word of God. I know I'm paraphrasing it. Do you have chariots or horses? What about your 401k, 503b retirement plan? Watching the stock market down 1,000 points. Here's something that's important to understand, that we all have, I think all of us, maybe you don't, but I think I, at least, have chariots and horses. My ability to start a business or speak, those abilities God gives me, they're not mine, they're on loan. That maybe that's my chariots and horses. You know, I look at the gun safe I have, and yeah, I've got some guns, maybe a lot of them. Not as many as most people in North Idaho, but maybe a lot of them. And maybe I've got many, many rounds of ammunition. Not as much as most people in North Idaho, but it's a lot. There's cash in there. There's gold. Probably you have the same thing. I used to trust in that. I used to conceal carry. Now, if I'm with my daughter, I still do, because I refuse to be in the position to say, I'm sorry, I can't help. I will give my life for you, but I'm sorry, I can't help in this circumstance. Refuse to do that with my daughter. But I found myself trusting in those things. Earlier this morning, and this was about 4 hours ago, Zero Hedge reported the following. NVIDIA was down $325 billion. Apple was down $300 billion. Google was down $200 billion. Amazon down $135 billion. Microsoft down $125 billion. Meta, that's the company that owns Facebook, down $80 billion. Tesla down $60 billion. Chariots and horses. Can we go through a couple things about this? NVIDIA has seen its value go up 100-fold per day, but not its revenues. Incidentally, as NVIDIA's stock has gone up like that, its suppliers' stocks haven't gone up like that. There are components to the NVIDIA tech it can't function without. They were reliant for a little while on one company to supply those components. That company's stock didn't go up. Why was NVIDIA going up? Because people were buying it. Why were people buying it? Because NVIDIA was going up. Apple just dropped $300 billion. Do you know that Apple hasn't been a growth stock for about six quarters? The very, 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 let's say, morally compromised CEO, Tim Cook, came out and said, hey, we're not a growth stock anymore. But your retirement money probably goes into Apple automatically. If you're part of an electronic trading platform, about 40% of your money goes to Apple, Google, Amazon, Microsoft, and Meta every month without regard to their profit and loss. In the case of Tesla, another fascinating thing, Tesla, the brand, riding sky high. It dropped $60 billion. You know what has not taken the upswing in stock price along with Tesla, the car? The components of the car. The copper, the lithium, the rare earth metals needed to make Teslas. Those prices have remained relatively flat. How's that possible? Because people are buying vapor, buying things that aren't real. If you want to map things back to what's real, here's the question. The closer it is to how God made it, the more real it is. But we live in a world of lies. So we should expect the stock market to be that, a world of lies. Governor Chris Sununu told the Shriekers on The View the DNC has a very undemocratic method of anointing Vice President Kamala Harris.
The challenge I think Democrats have, let's talk about what's really going on in the last couple of weeks here. So the Democrat voters all voted for Joe Biden. And then a couple elites said, yeah.
Well, they voted for Harris, too. She was on the ticket.
Yeah, understood. That's right. But they voted for him. That's right. But they voted for Biden to be president. And then it wasn't like it was sent to the convention. And then the delegates had a choice or anything like that. A couple elites called.
She has 2,000 delegates
Biden.
Already.
That's right. And she did it in. Guys. But look, three phone calls were made from Schumer and Pelosi. Biden said, I'm in this thing. I'm not leaving. A couple phone calls are made, and all of a sudden, he's pushed out. And in 48 hours, all the delegates aren't given a choice of other candidates. They're told, you're going to get behind Kamala.
That's actually not what happened.
Yeah,
but let me flip it if I could. What if I said, you know what? Trump, you're losing in the polls now. And you know we have another candidate, and the head of the Republican National Committee, and myself, and a bunch of others say, you're out. We're just going to instill Nikki Haley now because the polls
I
aren't
wish
good.
We had a party
right?
that could operate
yeah.
that
but,
way.
But that would be awful. But everyone has to accept
to
that would be awful for America.
The convention happened already.
Yeah, right. But that would be awful because
Why?
The voters have to decide.
Why would it be awful?
Because voters
so
have to decide, not elites.
It would be two women against each other.
Why would that be awful? To have 15 people making the decision for the entire country. Indeed, The View. Why, they're defenders of our democracy. Oh, we're not even there yet, are we? That could have been a clip in this segment. On this program, Disciples View, we thank the Lord for placing the supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called The Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciples View presents...
Who doesn't love a yellow school bus?
Trans women are women, trans men are men, and non-binary people are non-binary.
If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money.
The Tower of Babbling.
Three sound bites in the Tower of Babbling. CNN aggressively pretended that the Algerian man who beat in the face of a woman at the Olympics is a victim of the dreaded misinformation.
The IOC coming to the defense of a boxer at the center of an avalanche of misinformation.
The misinformation is what? He has male chromosomes. XY, it's been tested. He's a male. He's a man. We can show you the pictures of him in his bathing suit. No hijab. He's a man, and he beat the face in of a woman. And then he pandered to her. If you buy the lie that trans women are women, you sponsored that activity. You have no choice. And when the world comes along and says that a woman, well, should just sit and take it when it's, I don't want to say worse than a beating, but let's say inflicting sexual wants on the body of a woman, and the world says, hey, you have to let them do that. After all, woman is a woman. You have to stand with it. But that's bizarre. It's utterly insane what she said, Todd. That's rape. That woman got into that ring knowingly. There are women in San Francisco in fallen relationships, deeply sinful relationships, in so-called lesbian dating clubs, who have been psychologically and emotionally pressured into having sex with men because trans men are women. Or trans, pardon me, trans women are women. Men pretending to be women are women. I've interviewed women who've said, I was pressured into having sex with a man. I felt raped. But my tribe had told me, trans women are women. I felt I had to do it. That's how bad this has gotten. And Satan smiles. Jesus weeps. Good news is God wins. Please figure out what side you're on. Next soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. Adam Kinzinger explained there's nothing more than conservative than voting for an open borders, pro-abortion, men or women cultist who demands unlimited government power over speech, food, and healthcare because Orange Hitler.
See, there's nothing more conservative than that, and Donald Trump is the exact opposite of that. So for me, Kamala Harris is going to defend that democracy, and I think every Republican that takes their viewpoint seriously, old school Republican, not whatever this new thing is, should be voting the same way.
Yes, along with all those, in fact, very liberal, in fact, communist positions, right back to what The View said. Hey, let's have 15 people decide who's president. Adam Kinzinger, fake Republican, fake conservative. Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. PolitiFact just ranked it mostly false that Kamala Harris wanted taxpayer-funded health care for illegals.
So you support giving universal health care, Medicare for all, to people who are in this country illegally?
Let me just be very clear about this. I am opposed to any policy that would deny in our country any human being from access to public safety, public education, or public health, period.
That's a yes. She is, in fact, in favor of giving that to illegal immigrants. PolitiFact continues to prove that fact checkers are another word for lying. And that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
I love Venn diagrams. I really just love Venn diagrams.
On a Disciple's View.
Back in the day, working in Seattle, I was playing in a band, and my dear, dear brother Matthew and I were writing songs together, and I was living in his parents' home. His dad had been a record industry legend, great Christian man, raised a family of now Gary and Karen have some 40 grandkids, praise God, 40 grandkids, praise God Almighty, and great grandkids. And they've been kind enough to count me as a godson of theirs. So, so thankful for that. So we were writing songs together, and I was flirting with going back to college, but didn't want to. And I landed a job at Time Life Books, selling books. I think I've told you about that a bit. I think I told you about my former boss, Dan, the other day. And it was a cool job. I mean, on cold calling day, it was kind of rough. You might sell 8 books. But man, when you get to call the active leads, these are people who bought Time Life Books and really liked them. I could sell 50 to 60 books a day, set records. I just came up with a quick way to do it. And it was fun. I get to talk to people around the country and hear different accents and adjust my speaking tone and speed. When you called New York, I had to speak real quick. Called the Midwest, you slowed down a little bit, visited a little bit, used different phraseology. It was a great lesson in American uniqueisms, so to speak. It's making phone calls to active leads one day. And a woman picked up the phone, and I did not pay attention to where she was at before I made the phone call. You had these cards. It wasn't on computers at the time. You actually got index cards. So you had to dial the number yourself. And so she picked up, lovely, lovely voice. Hello. And I introduced myself. Yes, ma'am. My name is Todd Herman with Time Life Books. I see that you're taking our series. I forget the series she was taking. I'm wondering how you're liking that. And she said, well, sir, I would like to talk to you, but I'm in the middle of a hurricane. Oh. And I could hear it then in the background. And she was very afraid. It was her first ever hurricane. Very afraid. And I said, well, ma'am, I should let you go and get safe with your family. She goes, oh, my little ones are here. I said, yes, ma'am, I should let you go. She said, no, sir, please don't let me go. I'm afraid. Please don't let me go. okay, I'll stay on the phone with you. She said, what should I do? And I said, you know, I've only read about this. I've never been in a hurricane, but my understanding is to get into a bathtub, get into the internal parts of your home, stay away from windows. My understanding is that internal bathrooms with all the pipes and the big, heavy tubs, if it's an old tub, that that's likely to protect you more. So get your kids and get in that tub. And she did. She had an old iron clawfoot tub and this internal bathroom, no windows, deep inside the house. And she got in there with her kids. And I could hear the sound out there. And she was talking to me about the sounds and what she heard. And she'd understood from the news that there were parts of neighborhoods destroyed. And I asked her her name. I told her my name. She said, where are you from again? And so I told her I was calling from Seattle. What's that like in Seattle? Talk to me about Seattle. So I told her, well, I'm calling from a place just above Gasworks Park. It overlooks a park on Lake Union. It's an old gasworks facility that's been turned into a playground. I can see the view of the city from across the water and kind of describe the skyline of the city. And it was about 70 degrees. And she said, do you get hurricanes there? No, ma'am. And she laughed. Well, maybe I should move there. She was, I don't remember what state she was in, sadly, but I remember saying, I've never been south. I need to come south. I need to see the southern part of our country. And how long have you lived there? Well, we're very new and my husband's not here. And it got really loud. And she said, oh, dear Lord, I'm with you. Oh, dear God. And it got really loud, guys. And I could barely hear her. And I kept saying, I'm here. And I could hear her scared and her kids scared. And then it began to get quiet. And I wondered if it was the eye of the storm. It turned out it wasn't. The storm had gone past her. Her home stood. She said, dear God, it's quiet. I think you made it. She said, I'm sorry, why were you calling again? I was calling to sell you books. You know what she said? Do you have any books on home repair and improvement? I said, ma'am, I can't sell you books. She said, sir, I'm going to need to do some repair. I want you to send me the entire series. And thank you for sticking with me. Did you notice it? The phone line never went down. The phone line never went down. That's miraculous. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because He first loved us, we love the nations, and we go out and make disciples. Until God decides we can speak again together, may His peace wash over you. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman. This has been a Disciples View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.